All right, so our Mishnah, the beginning of the fourth parak of Brachos, starts off talking about the concept of Zmanei Tefillah. So it's noteworthy already that this is the introduction to Tefillah, because the first three parakim were about Kriya Shema. So Brachos is roughly broken up into three parts. The first part is about Kriya Shema, and the last part is about benching and brachos hanenin and other kinds of brachos that we recite on natural phenomena and things like that. So the middle part is about tefillah. So the fact that the Mishnah jumps right in to zmanin is something we could take note of, whether that's simply a practical point. Maybe you want to know first and foremost, if you're going to daven, when's it going to happen? Or is there something more fundamental to it? That's something to keep in mind. Is it that the detail of timing when it comes to tefillah is not simply so you know when to do it, but is it something inherent in the nature of what tefillah is about? That's something that is going to be a very important question for us. And especially because then once we get into the Gemara, so right away, as soon as the Gemara starts, it jumps right into the topic of Teshlumim, which takes up some space in the Gemara, as you got a chance to see, but it takes up much more space in the Rishonim and Achronim. It is a very involved topic. So that itself, the fact that this is the first thing you hear about in Tefillah, maybe we can relate, the first thing you hear about in Hilchos Tefillah is what happens if you miss it, what happens if you're late. So I guess it's a very human way to start talking about the laws of davening. But is there more to it also? Again, the fact that Tefillah is conveyed from the very beginning in the context of Zman. So what exactly is the message there? That's something that we also need to keep in mind. But before really jumping into the concept of Teshlumin, so we need to get some kind of an understanding of where Tefillah itself comes from. And that's also a sugya on this daf, even though the Gemara puts it a little bit at the end of this discussion. Sorry. So to parallel a little bit, if you learned the beginning of the Masechta, so we'll create a little bit more of a parallel. So if you learned the very first daf in Brachos, so first there is a parallel, because the first Mishnah in Brachos talking about Kriya Shema wants to know also about timing. When do we say Kriya Shema, and when is it too late, when is it too early? But the first line of the Gemara is, whoa, where does this whole thing come from? Kriya Shema, whoever said what, Kriya Shema? Who says we should say Kriya Shema? So we could insert that line into our Gemara also. What? Tefillah? Who? What? Where? When? Tefillah? Who said anything about Tefillah? So who did say anything about Tefillah? Where does Tefillah come from?
Avos.
Okay, so what question are you answering when you say Avos?
The question of who is it Mitakin Tefillah?
Okay, so what do you mean by Mitakin? Which is the language of the Gemara, I understand. It's not your fault, but what do you mean when you say that?
It's not the Zana, it's the idea of Tefillah.
Okay, the idea of Tefillah. So if you're answering, where does the notion of Tefillah come from? It's an important question, but that would be the only question to ask. So, okay, so what did the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah do?
Established
a number of Tefillahs. Okay, so you're telling me the idea of Tefillah, and you're telling me the number of Tefillah. And the text, okay, is also an important question.
Yes, sir.
The mitzvah, okay. Mitzvah also
obligation.
Meaning what? Obligation, because mitzvah could also have a more expansive meaning. So, an obligation. So we're already subdividing a lot of things. There is a notion of tefillah. There is a text of tefillah, and there is a concept of how many tefillos, and there is an obligation of tefillah. Anything else we might mean when we talk about tefillah? Okay, so that's a part of the question of the obligation and the timing.
Who does tefillah?
What did you say about Karban? Okay, so that's a part of the symbolism of tefillah, or a part of
substituting.
Let's think about that for a second, because you know the Gemara is going to bring it in, right? Purpose may be part of it, but we're going to have to figure that out when we talk about the relationship that exists or potentially exists on some level between tefillah and karbanos. What is it trying to get us to? unclear yet, but that's an important question to keep open also. Okay, what else? Yeah?
Who does tefillah?
Who does tefillah? Interesting. What do you mean by that? Like,
Mara goes into a little bit. Like, who's, well, saying that everyone's five in tefillah, but it has to explain why.
Okay. Interesting. You're saying because the premise is maybe women aren't chayiv in tefillah. You could have thought.
Right.
Okay. That's also, or maybe you also could have thought that maybe tefillah is only a tzibur thing. Right. Especially if, what?
What
kind of mitzvah it is. But also maybe especially if. If it's karbanos related. Right. So maybe all the more so, maybe it's a tzibur thing. Rav Kook makes that point. In terms of the association with the karbanos, potentially. So, there's a lot to figure out about just where tefillah comes from before we get into any of these practicalities. So, first off, is tefillah men haTorah? Tefillah midrabanan? Machlokes. So, you know it's always safe. And you can always get a safe answer by saying machlokes. So, machlokes, who, what, where, when, why? Yeah? Rashi and Ramban, interesting, because Rashi in the midst of the Seisha is Mangrama Gemara. Now the first, let's start with the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Min haTorah. What does he mean by that when he says Min haTorah? Where do you get it from? The Pasuk. Okay, that would be where things come from. Can we get a little bit more specific?
Uses more than one Pasuk.
Okay, so it's not obvious what the Pasuk is that he's pointing to. So what are the possibilities? Okay, so one possibility, probably the one that comes to mind most, even though there are other candidates, is Lavdo B'chol Levavchem, and that one has support. Why? Because it's a Gemara. It sounds like it's a Gemara. Where's that Gemara? First off in Tainus. Tainus Daf Beis Amud Aleph. I once got in trouble with somebody here for saying Gemara is in the beginning of Daf Beis. Why did I have to say the beginning and Daf Beis? That's redundant. There's a whole Torah behind it. It's a different time. But, so the first Daf in Tainus, the Gemara seems to derive from that pasuk of the B'chol Levavchem, asks the Gemara, Ezohi Avodah Shebelev, what is the whole notion of worship of the heart? Right, so the book of Soloveitchik's Torah that used that title, you can understand why. And so what does it mean? We talk about avoda of the lev. That is tefillah. So if the pasuk says you should do that, so is it telling us that there is a mitzvah? So the Rambam, if he's looking to that pasuk, maybe yes. If you don't say it that way, then how do you read that Gemara? Could be, it's what we call an asmachta, which is a whole discussion what an asmachta is, but doesn't mean that it's a full interpretation of the HaTorah. Or maybe the pasuk itself is not necessarily as a directive, not necessarily as a full mitzvah. That's possible also. But even if you say that it is mean that, yeah?
It's not necessarily continuing the relationship of how many tefillahs there are and what they're connected. It's just a basic obligation to pray to Hashem.
Is that a question or a statement?
That's the thing I'm saying, I think.
Okay. So, and therefore, we don't know from there where it comes from or what it's meant to represent. And we don't know how often. But nonetheless, the Rambam does assume that there is a frequency. So what's the frequency going to be? Every day. And so the notion of Shachris Mincha Maariv, there we don't have already, like Shmuel pointed out, in two senses of the word. Right? Even according to the Rambam, you don't have Shachris Mincha Maariv Min HaTorah in two senses. Why? Because two things you pointed out. You don't have a notion of three times a day, and you don't have a text. You don't have a text of Shmona Esrei. So what does Tzvila mean, Min HaTorah? That we'll have to figure out. But that's one question. And how many times a day, that the Rambam would also acknowledge is a later innovation. So where does he get once a day? Does the pasuk indicate once a day?
Yeah, but it doesn't indicate more.
Doesn't indicate more. Okay, so, but how do you know that much?
Gotta be at least one.
Okay. You're saying that based on
Svara?
If it's not one, then it's zero.
Oh, okay. So that's a good question. Sorry?
One a month.
Yeah, could be one a month.
Once a year.
Once a year. Okay, so those are all logical possibilities. And that's what the Ma'bit says. Kiryat Sefer, the Ma'bit, it says if you have a mitzvah and the Torah doesn't tell you how often it is, so then it's probably either once a lifetime or once a day. So chances are it's not once a lifetime here. So then the other possibility is it's presumably once a day.
Why would it not be once a lifetime?
So that's harder to imagine. That's what the Torah is saying, that once in your lifetime you should daven. It's not impossible, but it would seem to be the less logical interpretation. Do you think does that seem like that's a more logical interpretation? If so, let's ask it like this. So if it meant that, when would that time be?
Whenever you want.
Whenever you want. So is it driven by anything? That's an interesting question to ask. Is there any circumstance? So Eis Tzara. So that's how the Ramban understands.
Why can't you say the same thing about once a day?
So once a day has a natural cycle to it.
How do you choose? No, I'm saying how do you choose when in the day to do it?
Maybe it doesn't matter.
So why can't you say the same thing about once your lifetime? It doesn't matter as long as you do it once.
Because there's a clear difference between when you're 13 and when you're 82, and when you're married and single, and when you have 10 kids. There's a clear difference in stages of life and things going on.
Why can't you say that about any mitzvah? Just do it as many times as you can.
So
do it when you have an opportunity.
I mean, it's true that every mitzvah has its own set of circumstances and definitions and its own discussion. So you're right that everything does have to be explained based on its own details and its own discussion each time. But it would be an interesting question if you would say, once in a lifetime, what would the prompt be? What would the circumstances be? Hi.
Can you say for once a day because the pasuk that he's basing off of his abdo, which is like lashon, his present tense, and like, as opposed to like in your lifetime, it either happened or it didn't happen yet.
Interesting read. Okay. I don't know if you need it, because it probably seems to be the more logical possibility, but it's interesting. It doesn't hurt. It could be. So the Rambam has, for whatever reason, this premise that there is a mitzvah every day. The Ramban disagrees and does assume there is a mitzvah, at least based Tzara, to turn to God. That itself is an interesting question, what the mitzvah represents. The idea that it's an expression of belief, so if you believe in God, so then, as the expression goes, there's no atheists in a foxhole, so therefore, when you were in a foxhole, you show that you believe in God by turning to Him, and if you didn't, then it means you don't believe in God. So that's perhaps what the Ramban is conveying there, that when you are in a moment of tzar, if you're not going to turn to God, then it's a lack of emunah. And we find other indications of that. So is that what's going on? Which is different than avodah shebelev. Right? The idea of avodah shebelev is not per se about asking for something, even though that's a part of the definition of tefillah. But it's about saying that this is how you serve God, to parallel the karbanos, and avodah and tefillah have a certain association, which would be perhaps a different definition of tefillah. So, hi.
Did you say it's only a mitzvah when it's an etzar according to the Ramban, but in other times, if you were to do it, you're still getting like a
Okay, so certainly this is something to keep in mind, that clearly there's a concept of tefillah as you put it, as an idea that exists outside of the chiyuv, and it accomplishes something which is not neutral. So how exactly to classify that is something we're going to have to determine, but he's clearly going to have to acknowledge that tefillah, even without a chiyuv, first of all, it's certainly going to acknowledge a chiyuv d'rabbanan. So, but you're asking just on a level of min ha-Torah, so what is tefillah? So it's clearly something, and it's something we see in the Torah itself happening through the Avos and the others. So it clearly is something, even when it's not a chiyuv. So that's a part of the overall question here. What exactly is it? And that's something that's going to also be behind the picture here, trying to understand what is accomplished with a tefillah, even when it's not a part of a obligation. So, hi.
is the Ramban saying only during his Torah also based on his Torah?
So he understands that based on the Torah itself, and we'll see a little bit more about whether that's associated with anything connected to the Rambam's position. But that's got some interesting angles to explore also. So here, assuming that we have a later innovation of tefillah, which even the Rambam's going to agree in terms of the number and in terms of the text. So the Gemara, we'll skip over for a moment the whole question of Teshulamim, which is going to take up a lot of our focus later. But the Gemara ultimately tells us that there are two possibilities as to where tefillos come from. So on Daf Chavav Mibbeis, so we're told, Itmar the top of Chavav Mibbeis, or Itmar Rabbi Yosef V'Chanina Amar tefillos Avos Tikna. The tefillos were instituted by the Avos. Yeshua ben Levi Amar tefillos Kineged Tamidin Tikna. The tefillos were established Kineged Tamidin. Now we're going to have to figure out more about that because there are only two Tamidin, and so that itself requires an extra explanation for Ma'ariv, which could help to explain why Ma'ariv is treated differently, which will be a whole sugya, but that we'll see more about. Tony?
I have a question from before.
Yeah.
If the Ramban says tefillah is only the Sarah,
yeah.
Would that mean the whole purpose of tefillah is precautious?
So that's part of what we're trying to call attention to, that at least on a Daraisa level, that it seems that the conception of tefillah or the focus of tefillah is possibly different, which doesn't mean that that limits what tefillah could be, and it doesn't mean that the Darabanan conception is necessarily different. But in terms of a Doraisa picture of tefillah, it would seem that tefillah be'ez tzara and tefillah as avoda may be different.
So is this that's a possibility. How is that serving if you're asking?
So that's the question. So what happened, it is an expression of Amunah, so it could be in some sense. And like, so for example, in the first part, in the sugya of Smichas Gula Tefillah, so the assumption that there is a synergistic relationship between Kriya Shema and Tefillah, and that they should specifically be associated with each other. So a part of it is that Shema, as a Kabbalah of Amunah, is enhanced by tefillah coming afterwards. So what's the enhancement? The enhancement...
Is that the other way around?
There's both ways. It's a part of the interesting discussion of the Rashi over there, but there's a whole chekira to be discussed. It could be probably, at least for chakras, it's both, that Kriya Shema is enhanced by Shemon Esrei and Shemon Esrei is enhanced by Shema. But if we say that Kriya Shema is enhanced by Shemon Esrei, so how is that true? So it's easier to understand the other way around, right? That Shema enhances Shemon Esrei by acting as a ritzui, by acting as an appeasement to God, so you declare your faith first. But if it's the other way around, how does Shemona Esrei enhance Shema? So there, Rashi quotes the pasuk Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, that the idea is that you're declaring your faith in God, and you're showing, you mean it, you put your money where your mouth is, that after you claim that you believe in God, you then turn to Him with your needs. So that itself is a act of emunah. So there is an aspect of avoda there, but possibly, yes, it is a different focus. That's something worth exploring, too. Hi.
Would the Rambam say the main purpose of tefillah is shevach?
So that's something goes to that same question. If the avoda is a different kind of focus than bakasha, and again, is it maybe different on a level of Minat Torah than Bidravanan, is it different in different contexts? That's something we have to still explore. So, first of all, here you have the Gemara raising this question of whether it comes from the Avos or whether it comes from the Karbanos. And the Gemara gets a little bit more specific, first of all, about separate from the Machlokes. So what would we mean? So identifying the three tefillos, Avram Tikein Tefillah Shachris, Shenamar Vayashkim Avram Baboker, El HaMokom Asher Amad Sham. So which Vayashkim Avram Baboker is that, by the way? Sorry?
Stone.
Stone, yeah, that phrase, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, appears three times in Parshas Vayera, so it can get a little confusing as to which it's a reference to, but it's talking about stone. So one of them is the source for Zriz and Makdim Elamitvos, and it's actually not 100% clear which one it is, so that's also interesting. So V'ein Amidah Elit Tfila, right? Shemar v'yamar pinuch tefilah. Alel Yitzchak tikein tefilah zmircha. Shemar yitzchak Yitzchak vasuach vasada lifnas arv. Ben sicha elu tefilah. Shemar tefilah la'ani kiya atof. Lefnei Hashem yitzchak sicho. Yaakov tikein tefilah zarvus. Shemar v'yifgav amakum v'yolin sham. Ben pigiya elu tefilah. So here we have the psukim identified that the Avos used or referenced in terms of creating the three tefillos. And the Gemara ultimately somewhat answers, maybe not, gives us a little bit of a clue of a resolution by the two dots here at the end, that tefillos Avos tiknum, we can say, let's split the difference, that yes, the Avos did institute them, going back to Max's point, the idea of the tefillos, va'asluchu rabbanan ha'karbanos. And yet, the rabbanan added something more by associating them with the karbanos. Now, the exact division of labor there is not clear what that would mean, and is left to Rishonim and others to explain. So what's one possible breakdown in terms of what that could mean, practically speaking? Right, in terms of what per what, but I'm saying in terms of saying, okay, the Avos did something, and the Anshei Knesset Gedola, by connecting it to Karbanos, did something else. So what could that mean?
The Avos like brought this concept and idea, and then like once we have this concept and we know that they did it, we wanted to have a set format.
Mm-hmm.
So Anshei Knesset Gedola formatted it based on Karbanos, which were another way to connect to Hashem.
Okay, and formatted it how? What did they do by formatting it?
Time-wise,
okay, that's a possibility.
Amount-wise-ish?
Maybe, amount-wise-ish, good phrase.
And
title a book with that.
Yeah, I guess with Seaboard, I don't know.
Seaboard, maybe. Maybe. But also, what else? Just text? Well, Karbanos text is a little bit of a jump. But how about just the chiyuv, right? The idea of making it obligatory. So that's what the Shittim Mekubetzes writes over here, that that's the breakdown, that the Avos brought them into the world, and the nature of the obligation, that's what the Anshei Knesset Gedola did in terms of connecting it to the Karbanos. It was pointed out that the Rambam presumably has this understanding also, because if you looked at the Rambams at the end of the list, so when the Rambam talks about the obligation of the tefillos, so he just talks about Karbanos and doesn't say anything about the Avos. But he doesn't deny the relationship of the Avos to the tefillos, because if you look in Hilchos Melachim, that was the other reference there, so there, he does bring the idea of the association of Avram to Shachris and Yitzchak to Mincha and Yaakov to Ma'ariv. So the point seems to be the same one, that the Rambam acknowledges that the Avos were involved with each tefillah, and the notion of it being a chiyuv for us, that's something that came about later, and that was also connected to the Karbanos. Hi.
If Bechiev, the Rambam is agreeing that Bechiev itself comes more from this idea of the Anshei Knesset Gedola basing it off the Karbanos,
mm-hmm.
How would that also work with him holding that it's a Daraisa Chiyuv?
So the three time a day Chiyuv. Right? He doesn't think there's a Chiyuv three times a day.
For the Chiyuv one time a day, but the three times a day is only a Darabonos Chiyuv?
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, he definitely doesn't hold his obligation to three times a day, Min HaTorah. But had they not come along, so there would have been an obligation once a day. Once they said three times a day, so the once a day is subsumed in the three, but that part is clearly Drabanan. Hi.
In the Gemara, would Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shaul also be arguing on whether there's two or three tefillos?
Because of the
Tmidin, not the word Karbanos. Like, are they arguing on that, or is it just assumed that Tmidin just means three tefillos?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because they don't deny the existence of Ma'ariv, except that we'll have to see how this ties in, because we haven't yet gotten to the sugya, but the tantalizing idea, for those who don't want to go out of the house at night, of tefillos arvus rishus, of what exactly that phrase means. So a very broad interpretation of tefillas arvus rishos could theoretically mean that there are two tefillas in the sense of an obligation. And if you really understood rishos, which, spoiler alert, don't stop going to Meir before you get to the sugya, because it does not mean rishos in the totally optional sense on any level, but we'll have to explain why, so don't get too excited. But the if it did mean that, right, if rishos really meant literally optional, so then you would have the possibility of there being two tefillos in the sense of obligation. And then it's an interesting question. This is just a little bit of a preview because it's a whole different discussion. But the Rishonim and the Achronim are very troubled with the whole concept, because if you say tefillos avos tiknun, so why should Ma'ariv be so disrespected? Yaakov was not an inferior av. And if anything, we say he's actually Bechir Sheva Avos. Yaakov was considered the elite among the Avos. So why should his tefillah be treated with any less stature than the other two? So that's a very fascinating topic to explore. But there were those, it's not the only way at all to see it, but there were some who suggested that you could only come to the conclusion tefillas Arvus Rishus Laman Da'amar Keneged Karbanos Tikna. So you put all those parts together, then yes, that's what you just said, that tefillos keneged tmidim tiknum means there's only two tefillos in the obligatory sense. Ma'ariv is the rishos, and only, but the, if you take one opinion, another opinion, one interpretation of that, put it all together, you could come with, up with that sentence. So, in any event, the idea then of saying that the avos contributed something, but we know it's not the obligation, because, first of all, that's what it means to say that the Chazal, the Anshei Knes Tadoa, came later and associated it with the Korbanos. And besides that, and this is a whole separate discussion, because it's actually a broader nature of Torah discussion, but what would the authority of the Avos have been, anyway, to be mitzaveh anything, which is itself a whole discussion. So the nature of mitzvos, Misinai, before Sinai, Gehanosha, Brismila, there's an extensive literature about that. But what would it even mean to say Avram commanded Shacharis or Yitzchak commanded Mincha? So that itself is really not clear as a concept. So for a number of reasons, it seems to be that we don't have a chiyuv of Shacharis going back to Avram or of Mincha going back to Yitzchak, but they established it. But there's a big vagueness there, because what would that mean if they didn't establish the chiyuv and they didn't establish the text? That clearly came later. So what do the words mean? What does that mean to say that Avram established Shacharis and Yitzchak established Mincha? Yeah?
Didn't you say that the Shritim Kubetzos says that they there was no concept of davening three times a day? They made the concept of davening three times a day, and then Moshe and Esekadol just fell into a chiyuv.
But what does that mean? So they, Avram didn't necessarily daven three times a day.
So saying, daven in the morning.
So, time slots.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is something we have to figure out, what it means. What's the inherent difference between what Avram did, what Yitzchak did, and what Yaakov did? They didn't give us the words. They didn't give us the chiyuv. So, apparently, there's got to be something qualitatively different in terms of each one. And the Maral of Prague writes that they're in yonim amukim mode here. There's got to be something of tremendous depth, because it starts off already a little bit beyond our understanding here, because we struggle to figure out what it is that they added to the picture. So it could be that maybe it's just the notion of having extra tefillos. So Avram established something in the morning, and then Yitzchak apparently added another one in the day, and then Yaakov adds something else at night, although the time zone itself We'll get to that. Becomes a little vague when he davened and what type of a time zone that creates for us. But that could give us a notion somehow of three a day. And how fundamental is the three concept to our tefillah experience? And what's the relationship of one tefillah to the next? It's going to be pretty important in terms of considering the whole Tashlumin concept. Or, any comment about that?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How can we use the word established? It wasn't like a repetitive action.
Oh, that's a good question. Also, does it have to be though? In order for
but how can you just like? I'm just confused how we can use that as a sort of as a proof for like saying that we're going to love Shachar Shachar if they just did it one time.
Well, why would it have to be more than one time in order to be?
Because I feel like a definition.
That's a word.
Sorry?
Yeah, we're doing a routine. This wasn't a routine.
Establishing something, I feel like you have to work to establish something. Just doing it once is not
an interesting assumption. I wouldn't have thought that necessarily. Because, especially in light of what we said in the past few minutes, that the idea of doing it regularly. So that's what Chazal incorporated later. Now, you'll distinguish, perhaps, between the regularity and the chiyuv of the regularity. But it's not necessarily such a necessary distinction. And you could have said that, and I think this is probably the case, that the Avos brought the concept to our attention. And whether they did it more than once or not, which we don't have to think that they did, but even just once is enough to introduce the idea as they say, a thing. And once it's a thing, so then it becomes incorporated into our schedule, both with regularity and as a obligation. So I don't know if we need to know necessarily that they did it with regularity in order for it to be introduced as a concept. But the notion that there is some distinction between their types of tefillos is definitely striking. And just to discuss a little bit in the next few minutes about what it could mean, some kind of inherent difference. So the Maharal, in his comments, so he notes that there are differences in tefillah that correspond to the context, meaning the time of day, and that therefore every tefillah deserves a unique focus because of its time of day. So Shacharis, as we can all relate to, requires getting out of bed in the morning, and that's not so easy, and therefore the victory that we accomplish daily in doing so, and then turning to tefillah, deserves its own credit and its own merit that comes along with that. The first words of Shulchan Aruch, the Skaber Ka'ari, and the tefillah that comes with that. To be able to interrupt in the middle of the day, and I discussed with some of you this morning, what is the unique quality of mincha, because the Gemara in the first parak actually highlights mincha as uniquely powerful, and it's not so obvious why. There are different theories, but one possibility is that you are in the middle of your day, maybe the middle of your job, and your money-making pursuits, and you interrupt that in order to turn to God. So that deserves special credit. And that energy comes to the tefillah. And at night, you're tired and you want nothing more than to just fall into bed and to interrupt that instinct and to first pray to God then is also something that deserves its own credit. And each one is a unique energy and a special point, and maybe each one of the Avos brought that to the table. And as he notes, just take a look, that is actually contained in the Psukim. That the Psukim that are cited here, each one has a reference to that. Because look at Avram. So what does the Pasuk tell us about his tefillah? Not just the word for tefillah, which is also worth paying attention to. Each one of the psukim teaches us a different word for tefillah, and that is worth, but for Avram is told, Vayashkein. Not just that he davened, but before he davened, he had to get up. So that's something that's significant. When did Yitzchak daven? How? But not just Vayetzeh, but also Basadeh. So the fact that he was in the field. And the field is representative of a person's literal field. We'll talk about it today. What field are you in? Right? They talk about the Parnassah. So a person is out there at his job. So he's out there in his field. And he, despite that, turns his attention to tefillah. So this is another type of moving away to God from something. And what do we see in the context of Yaakov? That at the after the tefillah is Vayolin Shom. So as the Maharal notes, or as others say, based on the Maharal, that there's a nice sefer called Dibros Tzvi, a contemporary sefer, a lot of written on the Akkadic, extensive discussion about this, that in each one of the psukim, you see this concept associated with the Av that's relevant, that he introduced into that counter pressure, getting up in the morning, making a living, wanting to just go to sleep, the tefillah focus and the energy that goes to tefillah was contributed by each Av. And we incorporate that into our schedule, all right?
But you also, if you also look at when the others actually davened, it seems like it way more supports the Ramban, because they all davened at a pretty significant time in their life. Mm-hmm. Avram was davening for Sodom, Yitzhak was davening, his wife was coming, mm-hmm. and Yaakov was running away from Esav and was like crossing out into out of Israel for the first time. So it's all like, not an Esav necessarily, but it's all a pretty significant time in their life. So how do we take that and say, oh, we should daven every day, based on that, where every day for us, usually, most people, isn't such a big event?
Okay, so that's an interesting question. I'm going to answer that very briefly, because we're actually going to have to end, so it's a good cliffhanger. So I'll say two things about that. So first of all, it doesn't really have to support one or the other, because now we're clearly dealing on a level of Rabban in terms of Chiyuv anyway. So the Rambam can be friends now, because we're beyond the Daraisa stage. But your point is interesting, because this will be a cliffhanger. So I'll start tomorrow before we jump into the Tashlumin concept. So we'll make up what we didn't get to today, tomorrow. But we won't say over Yom Bethel Karbono. But the idea of what you pointed out, which certainly seems logical, and I'll let you think about that a little bit more, about what was going on in the context of each of these tefillos. So the Dubner Magid has somewhat of a different spin, which shares some of your points and differs sharply from some of the others. But he also, in the spirit of what the Maharal says, but differently, because the Maharal identified the unique aspects of each tefillah with the time of day, which could be true about any day. And you're focusing on much more specifically what's going on in their lives. So the Dubner Magid also took that approach and said there are different kinds of tefillos, not just tefillah in terms of the daily schedule, but tefillos in terms of what's pushing them and what's motivating them, which is essentially what you're talking about. And he developed a theory to say that there are three distinct kinds of tefillos that were innovated. But coming from there, he says, a very different depiction than you just pointed, even though there's a basis for each one that you described. And I probably intuitively would have said more like you than the Dubner Magid said, but we'll explore his approach anyway. The only one that really overlaps is the way you depicted Yitzchak's Mincha was similar. And the difference is, I'll leave you to speculate a little bit about how you could characterize Avram and Yaakov's tefillah differently. I'll tell you it's hard, because I think the way you said it is more intuitive and it's the more likely way to interpret it, but you had it a little bit differently. So God willing, we'll start with that tomorrow, an alternative way to characterize these tefillos. And then we'll have to then look at So what is the relationship between the tefillos to each other, the tefillos to the schedule of the day? And that will bring us into this concept of tashlumin. What will it mean to say, if you are missing a tefillah, it can be replaced with another one? So how does that tell us something about how they all relate to each other and what the chiyuv is in the first place? So, wishing you...